Jesus, open up the scriptures to us. Make our hearts burn while you speak to us.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and he ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
"Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." Peter speaking to the early church, to those people who were coming to hear about Jesus, who knew of the crucifixion, who knew of the resurrection of the dead. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." So Peter speaks to us today and calls us to the same thing that he called all of his first disciples. Repent and be converted. Let your hearts be turned to Christ. Have you ever thought about how small that Christian community was at the beginning? You had Peter and James and John and the others of the 12. You had Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdala, the other Mary. You had faithful women and faithful men following around with Jesus, who went from town to town, a little group, just a tiny little group, not unlike this congregation, which is a tiny little group. A tiny little group of different people with different ideas, with a lot of different ways of living, but joined around the Lord in the breaking of bread, in this holy sacrifice of the Mass that is our life and our hope in Jesus Christ. We are given a commission by God to go out to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are given a commission to bring all into the Holy Church, to convert people's hearts, not so much by what we say, but by what we do. Look what Jesus asked his disciples right after
he showed himself and said, "Peace be with you. Do you have something to eat?" That should be very significant to us when we are asked to give of ourselves and to give bread to the needy, clothes to the naked, and shelter to those who have not. We are called to do good works in the name of Jesus Christ. We are called to be his disciples by doing what he does and take up our cross daily and follow him. There are many ways that we can do this. We have the Samaritan Shop as a good ministry, and many of us volunteer for various things throughout our community that help our community to live and thrive. And we work with our youth. We work with our young people to make sure that they understand what they have been handed from us, the faith of Jesus Christ, and that they are responsible by their confirmations and as they join in more adult living in the community of the church to pass on, to hand down to their children and their grandchildren the faith that God has placed in our hearts. St. John, in his letter, says, "My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the expiation for our sins." Even at the time of John, which is almost a whole generation later, in the early church, John knew that we were God's children, but that we may fall from time to time, that we may sin from time to time. But that does not mean that we are shunned and driven out of the Christian community. That means we have reconciliation with the Christian community because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Having an advocate before the Father, a high priest who intercedes for us at all times, who prays for us and gives us grace through the sacrament of reconciliation, we receive forgiveness of sins, not for our sins that Jesus died, but for the whole world. But then the apostle goes on further. The way we may be sure that we know the Lord is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. We are told to recognize the difference between the sheep and the sheep in wolves in sheep's clothing. That would be bad if it was the sheep in wolves' clothing. That would be really peculiar, wouldn't it? I could almost see it, little bah. They're bad, very bad. But honestly, there are wolves in sheep's clothing, and they mask themselves in ways that we think they're sheep. So we should be wise. Remember, we're told to be, I forget that one too, wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. We're called to be prudent and to be wise, truly wise, and the Lord will give us that wisdom to tell the difference between somebody who's really good and somebody who's not so right. So let's have some prudence during this Easter time, but let's have some spiritual growth. We are enabled in the Lord to do many things, but we can't do it alone. That's why we have Christian community. That's why we come to church together. That's why we get together for various activities such as religious education, whether it's of our little ones or of adults, whether we get together for a trip up to a little pilgrimage up someplace like to Father Baker's up in Buffalo, or we go down to the church down in Pittsburgh that has all the relics. Those types of activities are good for us, and they build us up. And in the next, at the end of Mass, I'm going to have Claudia and Marion tell us a little bit about the women's conference that's coming up in Erie next weekend. They already have a few people from the parish going, and that'll help build up the women's groups. We want to have some things for the men, and I'm working on that. Somebody said something about bourbon and cigars, but I don't know whether that's the best idea. We might have adoration first. And then with the youth, we're going to try to take some of our kids to the Steubenville conferences in July. It won't be a whole big group because I have only something like 10 or fewer tickets at this point available. But we're going to take some of our kids so that they can come back and witness to their peer group and talk to them about the love of Jesus in their hearts. And we hope to have a really good summer. But let us ask the Lord today to open the scriptures to us so that we can see what he's trying to tell us, that our hearts may burn while he speaks to us. Those first disciples who saw Jesus and at Emmaus and came to know him in breaking of the bread knew a profound truth that we as Catholics know. We see the Lord always when we come to break the bread and pour the wine. When we come to the Holy Communion, when we come to receive his most blessed body and precious blood, when we see him raised up in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we know the Lord, and that is why we are here. We come to receive him, but more so, we come to become him, to become his body and blood in the world, to become his hands working, his feet walking, his goodness spreading throughout the world. So during this Easter time, let us enter more deeply into the mystery of Christ's presence among us, and may we be truly bread for the world.